It's hard as a wife to respect your husband when there are issues in his life that are not respectable issues. Here's counsel on how to deal with that from Shanti Feldhahn.
If you will say, okay, this is a very real issue, but actually, it's not the sum total of what my husband is, and that there are so many other things that are really wonderful about him that I'm just not seeing. In those situations, okay, what does it look like? How can I notice those? How can I maybe pull my eyes off the nasty stuff and put it on the stuff that is worthy of respect?
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Is there a hard-to-respect man in your home? We're going to talk today about how you can show respect to your husband. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, we've all heard for years about unconditional love and how important unconditional love is in a marriage relationship. I think it may have been 20 years into our marriage when I first heard the idea of unconditional respect in a marriage relationship. It's like, huh, that's a new idea. Because we think love should be unconditional, but respect, that's a different deal, right?
Yeah, we used to say that respect is earned. And then I think it was when Emerson Eggerich wrote Love and Respect.
Yep.
That's when you really took a deeper look into Ephesians.
And as a man, when I hear unconditional respect, I'm like, yeah, that sounds good to me. Why don't you give me some unconditional respect? But there are times when it's not warranted.
Yeah.
You're like, the guy is not respectful.
He's not deserving
of
respect.
And that's important because a guy can't hear unconditional respect and say, well, I'm off the hook, then I don't have to act respectable.
Right, right.
I get respect whether I'm good or not. No, we should strive to be worthy of love and strive to be worthy of respect, but we don't turn off the spigot just because somebody stumbles. We're going to hear today a conversation that's actually part of a podcast Family Life has created called Married with Benefits. Brian Goins is the host of that podcast, and he and Shanti Feldhahn had an extended conversation about this idea of unconditional respect. I want to make sure to remind listeners, this week and next week, we're encouraging you to show some love and respect to one another by getting away together for a weekend and attend one of our Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. Here's how we're encouraging you. If you sign up this week or next week, you'll save 50% off the regular registration fee.
That is a great deal. Yeah. If you women are trying to get your husbands to go to one of these, this is a great time to do it because he'll like that.
In fact, that's respecting your husband right there, giving him a break on the wallet.
Wait, and you could just say to your spouse, you go free if you want to approach it that way. Anyway, we're trying to do whatever we can to get you to be intentional and purposeful, and go to our website, familylifetoday.com, find a weekend that works for you, a location that works for you, mark that on your calendar and register now and get away for a weekend together this fall. Look, there's no better investment you can make for your marriage than to have this weekend together, to spend time together and to hear messages that will help strengthen your marriage, help you understand marriage better, help you understand one another better.
It really saved our marriage.
Yep. The weekend to remember.
Yes, it did. I don't think we'd be married had we not gone to that.
Well, that's a big statement.
That is a big statement.
And it is true.
Mm-hmm. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information or to register or call us if you have any questions at 1-800-FL-TODAY and plan to join us at a weekend to remember. So let's listen to an excerpt from the Married with Benefits podcast. This is Brian Goins talking to Shanti Feldhahn.
So what does it look like to this idea of respecting unconditionally, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 5:33? What does that even look like practically? Because, I mean, what if he's sinning? What if he's acting like a jerk? What if do you mean to respect in all those situations?
Well, and here's what we really have to confront. Some of you are like, you know, this is an occasional thing and you need to know how do you give respect in those occasional circumstances when you don't feel like it. For some of you, this is a much bigger deal, mm-hmm. right? Let's just acknowledge we're really sorry that you're in that situation and you're having to come right. to this conversation with something that's a real burden mm-hmm. that you're carrying. I mean, you need to hear us say, I'm really sorry
yeah.
for your pain, because that is a real pain. I've had many friends who have been in that situation mm-hmm. and it's hard. The thing that we also have to confront, though, is that God gave this command because ultimately, if you can walk through this, mm-hmm. if you can do what the Lord asks you to do when you don't feel like it and you cannot possibly see how anything good can come from it, that this is where that paradox, that Jesus paradox, comes into play. And you'll start seeing changes in most cases. Now, right. there is no magic wand that you're exactly. going to wave and that you can guarantee that everything's always going to turn out hunky-dory, puppies and rose petals. It's all going to be awesome. But in most cases, we have found, and this is statistical, right? We have found that the vast majority, it's usually about 9 out of 10 marriages, there is a transformation.
Really?
So that's the hope that comes
through. So if you want
it.
To change, what I hear you saying is that, listen, all of us probably out there want to change some aspect of our marriage or about the person that we're married to.
Right.
That I'd love to change their behavior. I don't know how to do it. And so I try all these different ways from nagging. And every time I hear women talk, because I counsel, you know, a lot of marriages as well. And it's like, I hear them talking about, you know, this is what I do. And I tell them this over and over and over again. I go, well, how's that working?
Dr. Phil, how's yeah. that working for you?
You know, if we keep doing that over and over, they're not going to change.
So every woman listening to this is going, okay, I'm really not happy with what I'm hearing, but mm-hmm. tell me what to do.
Yep.
What do I do differently?
Exactly.
And so here's the starting point for me as a woman, mm-hmm. because, you know, I've been in the situation. I mean, Jeff is an amazing guy, but he's, you know, he's a normal guy. Mm-hmm. He can do things wrong. He can hurt my feelings, you know. And before we did all the research, there was a lot of stuff we didn't know about each other. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important things is to step back and go, okay, in the Bible, if those of us who believe that the Bible has something to say, which mm-hmm. not everybody does,
sure.
and so we acknowledge that, but for those of us who believe that the Bible has something to say on this, is to recognize that my husband is called to love me as Christ loved the church, and I am called to respect my husband no matter what. So that means that when my husband is doing something that I am mad about, that I do not agree with, you know, let's just say, for example, common thing I get asked at my events, you know, sure. I do women's events, is, you know, my husband is wrestling with pornography. He's
yeah.
struggling with pornography. This is hurting our marriage. Mm-hmm. It's hurting me. I can't even look at him. I can't let him touch
yeah.
me. How are you saying that I need to show him respect? And that's a hard thing, but think about it as, okay, let's say that you have been really grouchy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you are, and ignore what he's doing for a moment. Let's just hypothetically say in some, you know, world where you're all by yourself, that you're grouchy, you're bitter, you're mad, mm-hmm. you're not being very lovable that day. It's been a hard day. You've
right.
been running around after the kids. Rawr. Is he allowed to not show you love just because you're not particularly lovable that day? No, he is called to reach out in love
and you think
to
every,
you.
Do you think every wife listening would go, well, yeah, he should love me because that's when I'm most vulnerable or that's when I need it the most?
Correct. And that is exactly what happens with our mm-hmm. men when we are mad that he mm-hmm. made that decision with the kids and we're thinking that is dangerous, that's damaging, you know, you hurt our son's feelings or mm-hmm. whatever, and I am so upset with you, or I told you I needed you home at 7 o'clock for the start of the dinner party and you waltzed in at 7:30 and, you know, and I'm embarrassed or, yeah. or whatever it is, and you do this all the time.
Or I see him taking that second glance.
And it's like there is an issue here of you can respect the person mm-hmm. for who they are even while you're not endorsing poor behavior. And it's the same thing when we are basically grouchy and miserable and crying out to mm-hmm. be loved. Loving us isn't endorsing the grouchiness.
Right.
Right. And one of the things that we found is that, and think about this, ladies, just put yourself in that position of you're that grouchy woman who's just had a terrible day and you're lashing out. If your husband shows grace and mercy and loves on you anyway, what does that do to us? for me, it softens my heart, mm-hmm. right? And it convicts me.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to be lovable. It makes me want to be the person he's already treating me as.
Right.
It's the same thing for him, is that if he made a decision I completely disagree with, or he came in late and I am so mad, and yet I go up and I'm like, I know you didn't want to be mm-hmm. late. Thanks so much for working so hard for the family. You know, listen, you know, we need to talk about the timing and all right. this at some other point, but you know, thanks for getting here for the dinner party. Mm-hmm. It's not excusing poor behavior. It's going to convict him because he's right. expecting you to be all over him.
Well, and that's what I liked about softening. Like if Jeff does that for you when you're being grouchy, it does soften your heart.
Totally.
And every guy that I know, including me, we condemn ourselves enough already.
Yes.
Like I know when I'm coming to that dinner party late, my wife is her love language is showing up on time, I think. we have this joke where it's like, you know, what are those things that irritate you the most? And for her, it's people that are late. I don't like to be late. I don't like people that like, and for me, the thing that irritates me the most are people that worry about being late. And so
that's a great
married.
Combination.
Yeah, it's a great combination. And I know what I'm putting her through right when I walk in the door. And so I am expecting her to come after me. And so if there's a change in posture or tone, boy, it does soften my heart.
Well, what I hear from a lot of guys actually, and I've heard story after story after story of this, mm-hmm. that for example, if they walk in the door and they're expecting I can't believe you did this. Mm-hmm. And instead she comes up and she's like, I'm so glad you're here. You know, I know it must have been a really hard day, mm-hmm. you know, that you couldn't get away from the client. I know mm-hmm. you wanted to be here. Come on, everybody's in here. And the guy usually tells me he feels this intense conviction.
Yep.
Like, oh, I failed my wife by being late and she's being so sweet to me. She's such an amazing woman. And how did I get so lucky? And,
right.
you know, and there's this conviction and he doesn't want to do that to her mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. Like, and he may still, you know, because
right.
we're all imperfect people. But one of the things that I have found with this whole sort of male-female dynamic is that if we will do what God tells us to do, it really is actually a source of conviction, which is then a source for change, hopefully.
Right.
Now, there's going to be women listening to this, though, who are like, but he hasn't
right.
changed.
Right, he hasn't changed.
Right, he still waltzes in half
He's
an hour
it
late.
Over
it drives
and over.
Me nuts. And so there's a second step.
Okay. Yeah. What's that?
That I think, and this is going to be hard for some women to hear if they're in a position of a real hurt. You know, mm-hmm. maybe coming home late is an annoyance.
Right.
But there's hurt, right? Like he is looking at porn or mm-hmm. whatever. That's hurt. So what does that look like? How can you honor the spirit mm-hmm. of what God has asked you to do? And what we have seen, and this is all over the research, not just my research, but all that has been done by sociologists, et cetera, have found that if you will say, okay, this is a very real issue, mm-hmm. but actually it's not the sum total of what my husband is, and that there are so many other things that are really wonderful about him that I'm just not seeing right now, that I'm not giving him credit for,
right.
because I'm so focused on these frustrations, these mm-hmm. real frustrations, mm-hmm. or these real sins in his life, or these mm-hmm. real hurts against me. And that if I will say, it's not the sum total, okay, so what does it look like? How can I notice those? How can I maybe pull my eyes off the nasty stuff and put it on the stuff that is worthy of respect?
Right.
And notice those and mm-hmm. talk about those. And one of the tools that we actually tested, and this is one of the recent books that I did, is called The Kindness Challenge.
Yep.
So we actually tested this. We call it the 30-Day Kindness Challenge. And the 30-Day Kindness Challenge is actually a way that you can change your mindset and mm-hmm. change your actions so that you're looking for and seeing those things that are worthy mm-hmm. of attention and affirmation. And what you do with your husband, you can do this for anybody, by mm-hmm. the way, but it's really intense. It's a good thing with your husband, is you do three things for 30 days.
Okay.
You don't say anything negative about him, mm-hmm. either to him or about him to
right.
somebody else, which is often where we kind of sabotage how we're feeling about him and make it even worse. Like mm-hmm. we, you know, if I'm going to my girlfriend's and I'm like, ugh, you know, you would not believe he came home late and, you know, I'm actually just focusing on that much more.
Right.
So the first thing is you don't say anything negative for 30 days to him or about him. Second thing is every day for 30 days is to find that one thing that is positive, mm-hmm. that is praiseworthy, something you can affirm and tell him and tell somebody else.
Okay. So bragging about him in front of somebody else.
Exactly. Yep. Like, you know what? Okay. It drives me nuts that he's always late, or he has this issue with porn, but you know what? And this is what one woman told me. She's like, in this instance with her husband, he actually truly had a porn addiction. They were mm-hmm. working on this really horrible situation.
Yep.
And she said, I had to pull myself out of it and go, but you know what? He is a really, really good, loving dad. Like mm-hmm. he loves his kids and he's always out there playing ball with them.
Right.
And, you know, and that is worthy of affirmation. And so she started with the 30-day kindness challenge. She actually started catching him doing the good stuff mm-hmm. and saying, thank you for doing that. And then she'd go to her girlfriends who she had shredded him in front of
sure.
for a long time and said, you know what he did yesterday? He came home from work and he was so tired and he took the kids out in the yard and played ball anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's affirming him in front of others and at the same time reminding herself he is a good guy mm-hmm. in these other areas. The third thing you do every day for 30 days is you just do a small action of kindness or generosity for
okay.
him. You may not feel like it at all.
Right.
But maybe it's a peace offering to make him coffee, get up early in the morning mm-hmm. when you don't otherwise have to, and make coffee so he sees and notices you're doing this to
yeah.
be kind to him, whatever that looks like. One guy, and this was another guy who was dealing with a porn addiction, he was in such a serious situation where he had really failed his wife. I think it had gone more than just looking at stuff.
Yeah.
I think that there had been some sort of physical infidelity.
Okay.
I mean, something really horrible. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to work through this. She was trying to do what God had called her to do through her tears and dealing with God. And she said she felt like God told her, I think he was a construction worker or on construction sites all day. And she felt like God had said, every day, I want you to bring him lunch.
Wow.
On the construction site.
Okay.
So he doesn't have to take the time, because apparently it was always like an issue mm-hmm. to get out and get food and come back. And she's like, are you kidding me? Mm. Lord, are you kidding me?
Right.
And she just felt like this was a command from the Lord. And so she showed up one day, you know, 10 minutes before mm-hmm. he would normally leave for lunch and said, you know, I just wanted to bring you this. And this man who had cheated on her
yeah.
and was so aware of his failing, she said he took the bag
mm-hmm.
and she said as he walked away, she saw his shoulders start to shake. He was crying.
Yeah.
And she said it broke something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the love of God outpoured to this man who had had such a failure in mm-hmm. his life. And that was one of these instances where that was the beginning of a whole new, you know, world.
Mm-hmm.
I think in those situations, I think that it didn't like solve the porn problem. He still had to go through some sort of, I can't remember, some sort of a program
sure,
or something.
A recovery program.
Something like that. But they were bonded. Their
yeah.
marriage started to be healed.
And I think what you're bringing up is this eye-opener of what's the catalyst for real change. And what's the verse in Scripture where it talks about it's his kindness? It's God's
it's
kindness.
It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance.
It's not God's nagginess.
It's a great point.
Right? Or it's not God's manipulation or his yelling that leads to repentance. You know, what you're talking about here is it's almost like you're asking wives to release control of changing their husband's heart.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, I wouldn't have put it that way, but that is absolutely true. That is absolutely it.
Because it seems like the fair thing, and I know Jen, my wife, she's a high justice, high fairness, and it's like, I want to let you know that you've wronged me. You know, where's that line between, okay, I want to respect him, but I don't want to feel like I'm enabling his sin, you know? Some wives could listen to this, the whole idea of, hey, she brought lunch to him for 30 days. Oh, that's so sweet. She's a doormat. You know, she's just letting him roll all over her. You know, what do you say? Where's that line between, okay, I want to show kindness and I want respect, but I don't want to enable sin?
So in my mind,
mm-hmm.
as I'm thinking this through, as you ask that question, the first thing that occurs to me is that this was a man who was repentant.
Mm-hmm.
And he already knew he'd failed.
Yeah.
And he already was, you know, very aware. He was still, I think, very much in some bad behavior. Mm-hmm. But he was very convicted about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just one thing that showed him that she was on his side.
That's a great statement too, right?
And
there.
That this was one thing that showed we're going to get through this together. Mm-hmm. And I care about you and mm-hmm. I believe in you and I'm here with you. I wouldn't be here with you if I didn't believe in you. All of that was said by her coming and bringing this man who had shredded her heart lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I do know that there are occasions where the guy is hard, he's cold, he is not repentant. And in those situations, I don't know the answer. I don't know that those kinds of situations you are continuing to enable. I'm thinking what's coming to my mind is something actually you and I were talking about not long ago, where I was at a convention of women 2 years ago. And this woman came up to me in tears, and I was talking about, you know, the 30-day kindness challenge, and I was talking about some of these things, and she came up afterwards and she said, you know, my husband has cheated on me, porn addiction, very similar situation. And he was very much getting his back up about, no, you know, I am not going to, and I think he stopped cheating, but it was very much like, you know, grump, grump, grump about it. You know,
I'm going to keep going down this road.
The porn has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says nothing about my love for you. Kind of get over it.
Right.
Right. And she was in tears and she said so. And she had consulted a counselor mm-hmm. on her own because he wouldn't go to one. And she said, you know, our story is that I felt like, you know, instead of doing the 30-day kindness challenge, my choice has been, she said, I just told my husband, I think just a couple of days before, that I am called to respect you and I respect you too much to let you continue to destroy our marriage and to continue to destroy yourself. This is destroying you, not just us. This is going to destroy our children. I respect you too much to let that happen. And I'm going to respect myself and our family enough to say we're going to have to separate.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a managed separation. It wasn't something she did in anger because let me tell you, if you do this on your own without the guidance of a church or a pastor, holy cow, that's like you're going down a really dangerous road. Don't ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
But she spoke with the pastor, how should I do this? And so they did it under the authority of the church and under the guidance of the church. And she had just moved out.
Mm-hmm.
She had told her husband and – or I think maybe she'd asked him to move out. I can't remember.
Right.
And so she said, we, you know, we just separated. And, you know, she was crying and, you know, this was an act of real faith. And, you know, I fly away. I don't know what happens. You know, this was in Indianapolis or somewhere. I live in Atlanta. You know, I never hear the end of these stories. Well, I went to the same convention just recently, just a couple of months ago. And, you know, in a different city. And this woman comes up to me with this like huge smile on her face and she says, you're not going to remember me, but I saw you at this conference 2 years ago and I was, you know, I just left my husband and separated. And she said, she started crying and she's like, it changed everything. And she's like, thank you so much for the encouragement to believe the best of him and, you know, and do these things. And she said, we're back together and we have an amazing marriage now. And I mean, I want to cry as I'm talking about
this,
you know, because she took that step of strength under the authority of the church and her husband's heart was broken because he lost his wife. He lost his kids. He had to confront what was actually happening in his life. But it was done with a heart of a desire to honor what God tells us to do as women.
And I think that's the big deal. And what I'm hearing so much, especially as a guy, the difference, the small change is so much in posture and tone.
Yes.
It is a posture of, I'm not against you, I'm for you. It's a posture and tone of, even though I disagree with how you're doing, I'm going to have a tone of, you know what, I respect you, I love you, I'm for you, I don't agree with this. But just that posture and tone makes a world of difference where I think it really does put it back on the husband, who most husbands, I would say, know when they mess up. They know. It's like with, if they're looking at porn or look at taking that second or third glance or doing something totally disrespectful, they know and they hate it.
Yes, right. Exactly. Inside, they may or may not. Yeah.
Unless they're just totally, you know, callous, they know it and they hate it.
Yeah.
And so to have a wife that recognizes, you know what, I'm going to believe the best about you. And I'm going to respect you. And then I think what you just did was a real difference between, okay, first step, have your tone and posture right. The second step, depending on which direction the husband goes, if he goes down the way of going, nope, I'm going to still do what I want to do, there might be a different action that takes place. I'll still respect you in my tone and my posture, but I might need to talk to a counselor, separate, whatever it might be.
Whatever it is. I respect you too much to let you continue to destroy yourself and our marriage and our family.
Exactly. And that's real love. That's tough love. But for the vast majority, I think, of wives, once you have that posture and tone and you see, oh, my husband's starting to soften, I like this kindness challenge idea of, okay, how do I then continue to show respect in real practical ways? And what I heard you say was, number one, just never talk.
Never disrespectfully.
Disrespectfully in front of him and in front of others. Now, I could hear one wife going, well, who do I talk to honestly about my feelings then? If I can't say anything bad about my husband, you know, for 30 days, is there, I do have something to share.
Yeah. So perfect example of this was a girlfriend of mine was doing this, and there were some very real issues that she was in an actual support group for. Mm-hmm. This wasn't just a group of, you know, friends like we tend to sit around, have coffee and go, okay, here's what happened, right?
Right.
That was not her.
Mm-hmm.
She was in an actual support group. And so she's like, this support group is my lifeline. Like, mm-hmm. what am I supposed to say, you know, for 30 days? And she felt like she suddenly, as she sat there one day and she's wanting to say something, and she realized, oh my word, I can still say something as long as I say it very factually and matter-of-factly mm-hmm. and calmly, like, okay, here's what's going on. Would love your prayer for this. And in that kind of tone, as opposed to what she said she realized she had been doing is saying these things for the pleasure of going, you would not believe what happened in my house yesterday.
Yeah. With the head wag.
With the head wag. Yeah, mm-hmm. you can't see in the studio. I've got the head wag on that one. You know, you would not believe that. And she's like, I realized I was saying it and sharing a lot of this stuff for the pleasure of sharing this, you know, moment.
Shock value.
The shock value and this, you not believe what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, once I had to start stating it just very matter-of-factly, she said, suddenly I realized it's changing my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm really, truly getting the support that I need, but I'm not entering into that, you know, there's a little bit of release of serotonin, like this feels good to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it basically incentivizes me to do this way again.
Sure.
And instead, and that's something that us as women, we fall into without even realizing we're falling into it. So as we withhold that, and as we look for the very real positives, suddenly that's when our hearts start to change.
Well, again, we've heard just a portion of a podcast. Brian Goins talking with Shanti Feldhahn on the Married with Benefits podcast. And if you'd like to hear the entire conversation or subscribe to the podcast, you can go to familylifetoday.com to get more information. I'm just curious, in those times, and Marianne has these times as well, when you don't see a lot of respectable behavior.
That's never happened to my wife.
Yeah, well, we'll let you, you can leave now and we'll have a conversation with her.
I'm going to walk out and you can have a personal conversation.
When that happens, how do you find it in yourself to demonstrate respect for him?
Honestly, I feel like it's very easy for us as women to get in patterns of seeing things that are negative. And it really, for me, it has taken my walk with Jesus to go to him and ask him, Father God, show me what you've put in Dave that is good. Because sometimes it was hard for me to see it. But it is true that God will give me eyes to see Dave the way he created him. And then to take the next step to observe and talk about and thank him for those things. Yeah. That is a whole new thing.
How sad is it that my wife has to pray and ask God to give her eyes to see something good in me?
Here's the reality, and you know this. It is human nature for us to minimize what we see that's good and kind of take that for granted.
That's the key. We take it for granted. We don't even notice after a while.
I remember Elizabeth Elliot years ago saying, if somebody walks into a room and they have a shirt that is a white shirt and there's an ink stain at the pocket, she said, that shirt is 99% white. But what do you stare at?
Yeah.
You stare at the ink stain.
It's
we
true.
Look at the flaw mm-hmm. and just can't let it go.
We think we can fix that
That's
by
right.
pointing it out. Right. Change the shirt.
Well, again, you can listen to the entire podcast with Brian and Shanti. Go to familylifetoday.com. And let me also encourage you, while you're on our website, make plans to join us this fall at one of our upcoming Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. This is a great opportunity for you as a couple to get some time away together, to focus on each other, focus on your marriage, strengthen the bond between you, maybe deal with some of the rough edges that need to be dealt with, find some opportunities to talk about how your marriage can be what God intends for it to be. You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, for information about when a Weekend to Remember is coming to a city near where you live. If you register today or throughout next week, you will save 50% off the regular registration fee as a Family Life Today listener. Again, go to familylifetoday.com for more information. If you have any questions, call 1-800-FL-TODAY. We can also get you registered over the phone if you'd like. The number again is 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. But do it this fall. Get away for a weekend to remember and save some money by registering now. And with that, we got to wrap things up for this week. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. On Monday, we're going to talk about what it means to have a fierce marriage, to put Jesus right at the center of your marriage and to measure everything you do and say to each other against what Christ has done for you. Ryan and Selena Frederick join us for that, and I hope you can be here with us as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.